This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, the secrets behind the book. And I bring all these fantastic authors here to tell you about it. And I have a wonderful author here today in the studio with me, and we're going to be talking about her book. And then in a little while, we're going to have New York Times bestselling author John Gilstrap is going to be on the phone, and we're going to talk to him about his exciting new release of a book called Scorpion Strikes. And it is a really exciting book, so we're going to have him here, too. But right now, I'm turning to my guest in the studio. I want to thank you so much for coming in today, Cheryl Holland. Holland. Okay, now we got it. Cheryl Holland.
Yes.
Okay, I like it. It's very nice. Holland without the... Yeah, okay. So now everybody's going to remember that. How are you?
I'm very well. Lovely afternoon.
Well, you're must be excited because you're going to be at BoucherCon.
Not only am I going to be in BoucherCon, but my fifth book releases a week from today.
Wow. I just read it. It's absolutely fantastic. It is called Shattered at Sea, and it follows the theme that you've developed about a glass-blowing studio.
Yes, all of my books feature one of the glass arts. Each book will take you through what actually happens when you create, like fused glass, or this one is for glass blowing on a cruise ship. Who would have thought you could do that? But there are three ships at Celebrity that do hot glass blowing on the top deck. I, of course, had to go on one of those cruises.
Well, of course.
Because research is so important.
That becomes tax deductible.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that clever? I never thought about it. I'm not a great sailor, so I've hesitated to do these cruise ships. But I think maybe if I didn't know they had something interesting like that, glass blowing would take my mind off of everything else.
Yeah, it was really amazing. I was thrilled to watch the demonstrations, and I actually got to meet the gaffers and talk to them about what their life is like behind the scenes and how they actually live in both worlds. They're not quite crew, and they're not quite guests, so it was just really juicy. I loved learning about them.
Okay, well, entire series, as you said, this is number five, and it's called Webb's Glass Shop Mysteries, and it's just a clever idea that you came out with.
Well, it's actually based on a real shop in the Grand Central District of St. Petersburg, Florida, and it's at the 2500 block of Central Avenue, and my husband and I have been doing glass work for more than 25 years, and so we came to know the owners. And that shop actually became my inspiration.
And so in this book, I love the way that you blend in this mystery, and you have a lot of nice twists and turns that keep us going. What do you want to tell about it? I never know what an author wants to say about a book, because you don't want to give too much away, but you want to intrigue people, because this is a great story.
Well, for me, after I'd had the cruise ship experience, I just wanted to know how Savannah would feel if she filled in for one of those glass blowers for a week on a Mediterranean cruise.
And Savannah is the owner of?
She owns the Webb's Glass Shop.
Mm-hmm.
And to be thrown in, kind of fish out of water, in the water, and because blowing glass at sea uses all electric heat. Blowing glass on land is on fire. You've got a real furnace and flames. So it was an interesting thing for me to throw her in that new environment and see how she did. And of course, There was a mystery.
And romance?
Some romance.
She
talked Edward into going with her.
And from there, the story gets very interesting.
Well, I try to model my characters on real life. They're going to have real life events, and their life is going to follow the path of a young person. And right now, it's romance and bonding and adventure.
And the travel portion of the book, where you're going to different places, is fascinating. Now, this comes from, now you were in a previous...
I call myself a recovered engineer.
That's right, because you had some adventures just in your engineering career.
Yes, I built flight simulators for military aircraft all over the world, which means that I was on Air Force bases in places like Taiwan, Singapore, Australia. That was gorgeous. And I spent 3 years in England actually developing an entire flight simulation capability. So that kind of technical expertise and dedication has always been offset by some sort of art, from watercolor to oil painting to ceramics, and now I'm into glass. So when I started writing during these long installation times, when the two of them came together, the glass and the writing, it just exploded, and I'm very happy with the results. I love writing.
And, of course, it's always so exciting for an author when they finally get it all together, sort of like you're ready to get out there in the world, and you got a contract, and you
got an agent, got a fabulous publisher, and you know, it really helps support my natural environment, which is kind of a team effort. So it's not just me writing the books. You know, I have an agent, I have a publisher, Kensington, who has wonderful editors and publicists. So it is really Team Holland that puts this book out.
And then, of course, the other part is the promotion of the book. And I think you're somewhat of an expert at that, because you seem to thrive on the part that a lot of authors tend to step back from, but you do enjoy the process of going out there. And I know that you are, you're the president, right?
Right.
Of the Florida Gulf Coast Sisters in Crime, and you're a member of the Mystery Writers of America International Thriller.
Also the Novelists, Inc., that has a conference right here on in St. Petersburg every year. I'm a conference junkie. I'll go anywhere if there's two or three people meeting about talking about books. I'm there.
Well, that's great, because that is something that so many authors are hesitant to embrace. But as long as you say to yourself, I'm going to enjoy this process, because you never know who you're going to meet, and you get to meet not just writers, but you get to meet also the people who read your books and who really then start following you.
That is true. And being able to talk to people who have read your books is an amazing experience, because for a long time, I kind of thought this world was mine alone. And when I found and met people who had read the books, I realized that these kind of books, cozy mysteries, adventures, safe adventures, actually bring comfort to people in times of stress. And after several readers had said, oh, I read your books while my mother was in the hospital, I read your books while my father was in hospice, that really touched me. I need to do this, because not just for me, I need to do this for readers who need that comfort read.
Exactly. This is one of the things that I think is so important, and why I named this program Joy on Paper, because there is a joy that an author feels when you see your words on paper. You get so excited. It's so thrilling, and it's so thrilling to know that out there is a reader for that book, and that you can touch somebody's heart. You can change somebody's life. I'm sure that there are people now who have read your books who say, are open now to doing glass work, just saying, wow, that sounds like fun. I mean, I'm open to going, I'm going to go on a cruise. And I don't even like cruising, but I think if I find a cruise where there's glass work off, I figure, okay, I'm going to go. It'll keep me busy.
One of the funny things is, as I said, the glass shop really is based on Grand Central stained glass. They've had readers come in and kind of say, well, this is not the same. This bench is supposed to be over there. And Eloise has had to explain to them, well, we actually do run a business here.
And I think it's so delightful to know that they do have something called date night.
That's from the Marian Arts Center. Uh-huh. They have a hot shop behind the art center. And every Friday night, they have couples who come in, and the couples with an instructor actually make a piece of glass-blown art.
Together.
We did a pumpkin once, and we still have it. It was a great experience. We really enjoyed it.
Well, I think that it's a romantic idea because people do need to have a shared experience is really the most important thing, I think, in keeping a long-term relationship and a long-term marriage. If you have these experiences that you share and you can go and look back on, it really does help, I think, don't you?
Date night is very important. We have always had one, even in our youngest days. If all we could do was hire a babysitter and go sit in the park, that's what we did. We actually called it marriage insurance, so it was a good investment.
Yeah, I think so, and so that's one of the things that you know can really inspire people is to read a book that covers something that's interesting. And I was so thrilled to discover that Kensington actually has a special page on the internet for books about hobbies.
Yes, it's called Hobby Reads. HOBBYREADS. And I submit a blog every few months about something particular about my glasswork. I've also made some videos about how we do etching, how I make my jewelry. And Kensington has put them on the site and shared them. So that's very nice.
I think it's fantastic. Now, you know, speaking of Kensington, we have another author from Kensington who's going to be on today, and I'm just checking here with Big Ed. Did we get him on? We're going to get him on in a few minutes? Let's call him early. I'm sorry. Ed, I decided we'd call him early because we're talking about Kensington. So whenever you can get him on. And that's Big Ed in the control room, and I always manage to do something, but he's always so helpful. So I decided that we'd get in John here because, for authors to find a home with a publisher is always so wonderful, and that you found Kensington.
Yes, and they're very supportive for new writers. That I've never seen the slightest bit of irritation that I didn't know what was going on. Just so much patience, and I needed patience.
Yeah. And so I'm always thrilled to have a Kensington author on, and so I am very happy to welcome now to the program John Gilstrap. Hi, John, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Okay, good morning. Well, as I mentioned to you, I have Cheryl. Say it right.
Cheryl Holland. Hi,
Cheryl
John.
Holland.
Hi, Cheryl.
Cheryl, you know Cheryl?
We do.
Okay, so she's here in the studio with me, which is always so exciting. And we've been talking about Kensington and what wonderful publishers they are.
Well, they are indeed. I mean, I've been with them now for 12 books, I think.
Yeah, and of course, I want to tell all my listeners that you are a New York Times best-selling author. And the new book is called Scorpion Strike, and it's exciting. I always love books where it starts off where somebody is just doing nothing special, and everything seems very calm, everything seems very relaxed, and then boom, things change quickly, and this certainly happens here in the new book.
Well, it's funny where this book comes from. My wife and I were on an anniversary trip to this gorgeous resort down in Puerto Rico. And, you know, you got the butlers and all this stuff that's going on. As I'm sitting there, everybody's having a good time. You see, this is what's like being a thriller writer. I'm sitting there and I thought, wow, this is a soft target. You know, nobody could possibly defend this because everybody's half naked and all that. So that got the idea of sending my character, Jonathan Grave, who's a freelance hostage rescue specialist, and his girlfriend, Gail, who's a former hostage rescue team member and part of his team currently, send them on this romantic vacation, you know, just kind of get away, and violence somehow finds them.
Yeah, well, you know, I sort of felt bad for them because I thought they deserve a little peace and recreation and not having always to be chasing or the bad guys or being chased by the bad guys. And then I thought, okay, well, you know, John just can't leave them alone. He's got to throw in some...
It would be a boring thriller if they just had a peaceful vacation.
Exactly. Well, you
but the good news is I'm confident that after the book is over, they got their money back from their travel agent. So.
I think so. They better. Boy, it is exciting. And, you know, of course, I had already read before this new book, I had read Final Target, which was... so well received, and I look back on it, and I saw that, you know, Jeffrey Deaver, who's been on the program a number of times, and when he says it's rocket pace suspense, he's right. Your books are always that way. You really keep the thrills coming, and it's very exciting.
Well, that's always nice to hear. You know, that's the reason you do it. It's funny when. In fact, I'm on deadline for the next book, so, you know, I'm in the middle of the final action sequence and all of that, and it's also very alone when you're doing it. You know, you think it's good, and it's always nice to hear from readers on the other side that say, yeah, okay, you did your job well, and it's just a long play out, you know. It takes a year to write the book, and almost a year for the book to come out, and so that's great to hear. I love to hear that.
Well, you've had a very fascinating life, just like Cheryl. You know, Cheryl was an engineer. And so she had a completely different type of career before she got onto this idea of writing cozy mysteries. And you, of course, you've had a very colorful career.
I did. I was a firefighter for 15 years. I'm a safety engineer by training and degree. And my specialty is explosives, weapon systems, and hazardous materials. So it kind of that plays very well into the thriller stuff.
It certainly does. It makes it very realistic when you write about that.
Why, thank you. It's and I'll be honest with you. I actually do seminars for other writers to quit screwing it up. I find it astonishing how people really don't understand the physics and chemistry of explosions and gasoline. You know, all the stuff that happens in the movies, gunplay. If you see it in the movies, don't do it. It's wrong.
Well, it's always, I think it's very encouraging to people that, you know, you might have a career that's fine and that's nice and you're making money and it's certainly going to give you a nice pension when you grow up. But to be able to use your time to write and then to have this success that both of you have now had with Kensington, that your books are out there and you're getting such wonderful reviews. It's an exciting thing.
It is an exciting thing. I think Cheryl will agree that, you know, every successful author has a first book that was scary, that's followed by a second book. And, you know, I teach these conferences and such, and the reality is the secret is to sit down and write and to stick with it. I think it was John Grisham or Tom Clancy who said it, we've all got the same 24 hours in the day. It's what do you do with those spare hours that make the difference? And I've been blessed.
And for me, what I have always heard is what you love, you actually should do first. And so I basically roll out of bed and hit those fingers on the keyboard until I at least get enough to feel good about for the day. So I do that first, every day.
Well, I can't say that. I am. One of my favorite quotes comes from Dorothy Parker, who I believe said, "Oh my God, you mean there are 2 10 o'clock?"
Oh.
So I'm not a morning person. I actually, my most productive hours are afternoon into the evening.
Well, Mike Resnick, who's been on the program, and he's won so many sci-fi awards. I think he's won the most sci-fi awards of any author. He has this, and he's been doing it for 40 years. For goodness sakes, I don't know, it must drive his wife crazy. He starts working at 11 o'clock at night and works through until 6 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And so when he's on my program, which is at 11, the first time he came on, he said, 11 in the morning? I have not seen an 11 in the morning for 30 years. And I thought, well, that's funny. I said, what do you mean? He said, I haven't been awake at 11 in the morning. I don't do that. But, you know, it's important that you just put in that time. You have to, whether it's early in the morning or late at night or all night, as Mike Resnick does, the feeling of getting those words done on paper, isn't that the real joy of life?
Actually, the best joy for me is when I read them and they're the right words.
Well, now, of course, for both of you, it's always fun. I talk to authors always about that first chapter. So do you have this first chapter obsession? Do you redo the first chapter over and over? How many times does the first chapter just come out and it's just like almost perfect?
Never. Never for me. And usually I end up throwing it away after I've gotten the book completely written. I, of course, discover I've started at the wrong spot. And so I have most times thrown it away. But on 2 occasions, I had to add another one. So I kind of let the whole book play out first. And then I go back and say, now where does this really start? And it always has to be doctored.
Well, yeah, and we're moved around. Sometimes my first chapter ends up to be my 12th chapter. You know, it depends on how the story goes. And very interesting, in this case, when Scorpion Strike came out, the paperback version, the ebook version, have a teaser chapter for the book I'm writing now, comes out next year, called Total Mayhem. And it's a very cool teaser chapter, except as I wrote through it, I realized it really doesn't work for the story. So that first teaser chapter appears nowhere in the next book. I just couldn't find a place for it. So, you know, these are decisions you make 8 months before you're done with the book. So,
well, it's always, it's so wonderful to get the words down. And, of course, for new writers, they're always surprised that there's editing that happens once you finish the book, right?
Oh, yes.
And, of course, at Kensington, you have a wonderful group of people there to work with.
We do. I've been with, HarperCollins, S&S, Simon & Schuster, Warner Books, and Kensington. And of all of them, you know, the great big houses, they're fine. There's some great editing talent there. But I'm with my editor at Kensington, Michael Hamilton, and she's just terrific, you know. And when you get that kind of continuity with the publisher, they understand. We get to understand each other. They understand the characters and what I'm trying to do and the voice of the book, and they edit accordingly. And that long relationship is just a lovely thing to have.
I agree completely. I have Selena James, and I swear she knows a couple of my characters better than I do. And after I get back her editorial letter, she has just made the book so much better. And I love that. That's just marvelous.
You ever find yourself going through that moment, especially if it's a long editorial letter, where the first response is, well, why don't you write your own book? You know so much.
Well,
this is perfect the way it is. And then the next day you read it and say, oh, no, actually,
I right. I never address it for like 48 hours. I don't touch a word. And I do go through that. Well, my goodness, it's not perfect.
I just love that joy that I hear in both of your voices when you're talking about about writing in general and certainly about editing. Now, I have to take a commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk more to you, John, about your characters. I want to talk a little bit how you developed them in the first place. And then we'll also talk about BoucherCon and all of the exciting things that are going to be happening here in a few weeks right here in St. Petersburg. Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special.
Support Joy on Paper and local authors. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code PATSY, P-A-T-Z-I, or call 1-800-871-1543. That's 800-871-1543.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I am back with very, very special guests I have right here in the studio with me. Say your name again.
My name is Cheryl Holland. I write the Webb's Glass Shop Mystery Series set in St. Petersburg, Florida.
And she's from St. Petersburg, or at least she's been here since 1975, so she's considered a real native here. And I am so happy to have you here to talk about your wonderful cozy mysteries. And on the phone, I have, it's so funny, John Gilstrap, I love this new book. It's called Scorpion Strike, and I wanted to talk to you about it because it is number 10 in the series of the Jonathan Grave thriller series.
It is, and that's very special these days. In fact, I've just signed a contract for numbers 12, 13, and 14.
Ooh!
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Isn't that exciting?
So well, I'm employed through 2021.
Well, I can see why, because you really came out with a great character here, Jonathan Grave, and his pal Gail Bonneville. Tell us about how you came out with the idea for Jonathan.
Well, Jonathan is in 2006, I wrote a nonfiction book called 6 Minutes to Freedom, and it features a Delta Force operation in Panama. And I ended up getting extraordinary access to these guys and toward their compound and all this. And what I found was that they're actually gentle men and gentlemen. Obviously, they're capable of extreme violence, but it's always in support of a mission. They're not violent people. And I found that whole thing, that was a surprise to me. You know, that's not how they're presented in popular media. And it was actually very reminiscent to me of the Firehouse, in the sense that you get there's a great deal of camaraderie and then very intense situations, and then you get the camaraderie again. So I got the idea of applying the international hostage rescue. Let me back out. I'm sorry. If you're kidnapped overseas, or taken hostage, whatever word you want, the intelligence apparatus starts working on your rescue right away. And if it happens, it will usually be by the local assets. You know, if you're in France, it'll be French or whatever. But there are a lot of places in the country where we don't have that cooperative relationship. So if a rescue happens, and actually more of them happen than make the news, it'll be pulled off either by Navy SEALs or Delta Force, more likely. And in that case, the only mission is to rescue the hostage. The intelligence gathering and all of that is secondary to rescuing the hostage. If you're kidnapped in the United States, it's different. The hostage rescue team, FBI and various SWAT teams will tell you that they consider a hostage taking to be a homicide in slow motion. So there's a presumption that the hostage is likely to die. The focus of what they're doing is to make sure the bad guy doesn't get away. And that's a very subtle difference. So I thought I would take this character as a former Delta operator and apply the hostage is what we care about focus domestically. So if you want your loved one is taken, you want them back, you hire Jonathan Grave, and they're going to bring him back. And anybody who gets in the way is going to have a bad day. So that's kind of the basis of the character. And as it's evolved over time, Jonathan is hired by the government to do stuff the government can't do. And he does it well.
He does it very well. And Gail is right there with him.
Well, Gail was introduced in No Mercy, the first book in the series, when Jonathan rescues a college student in Sampson, Indiana. It's a fictional town. And he leaves the hostage takers dead, and he takes the hostage away, and he lives. Well, Gail Bonneville was the sheriff of that town, and she sees a homicide because she doesn't know about the kidnapping because he does not work with the police to do this. So she's investigating the death of the two people that Jonathan killed, and they end up, there's a cat and mouse thing, and they end up liking each other.
Yeah. Well, and you developed that over the series, and wow, and we have a whole bunch more to go. So that's always it's so wonderful when you find the right characters and that they become part of your life and you can just roll with them.
They really do. And I tell people that if you know you sit down in a room and you play with your imaginary friends, and when you're really in the moment, when I'm really in the moment, the reality of what I'm writing is more intense and more real than the reality of my chair and the typewriter or the computer. And, you know, I'm playing with my imaginary friends and I'm talking with them and they're talking back. They call it psychosis, you know, if you don't get paid for it. It's mental illness.
Now, for you, Cheryl, how did you come out with your characters?
It was imagination. I knew I wanted a strong young woman who would be taking over an existing business from her father, and that because her father had been murdered, she was now alone. So my books are about how she has built family out of nothing.
And her name is?
Her name is Savannah Webb. So Savannah has, and those local to St. Petersburg will recognize her last name as Webb, who was a very prominent businessman here between the 30s and the 70s. So I wanted to kind of make it very local. But Savannah is challenged with not only, you know, this existing glass shop that that is her father's, but she's been a student in Seattle at the Chihuly workshop, and her heart is in Seattle. So she comes down to try to just, you know, turn the glass shop over to her father's trusted assistant, and by golly, before she can hand him the keys, he ends up dead as well. So that begins the investigation, and it also uncovers her skills in actually using her art background to observe and to deduce things that no one else sees.
And that's why it is a cozy mystery. And absolutely, the new book is called Shattered at Sea, and it is a great read. just the kind of book that people who love cozy mysteries want that comfort zone, and so it's a great book. And of course, when you want a thrill, who else was writing about you, John? Do you like to be called John? Sometimes I get it.
It's so much better than some of the other names I've been called over the years.
Okay, because Harlan Coben said, Gilstrap will leave you breathless. And, Joseph Finder, he's been on the program. And he's really great. And he talks about what a wonderful character Jonathan Grave is. And the entire series is so exciting. So, well, you two have really accomplished a lot, and actually you started publishing
2015.
And now, John, you had sort of an initial success as a writer, and then you went into lots of things, and now with this series, you're doing really well.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. My first book came out in 1996, and it was international bestseller. It translated in 23 languages. Nathan's Run was the name of that book. So it won all kinds of awards. So that was an interesting way to start a career. I actually didn't know that wasn't normal at the time. So I had a learning curve that came after that. But I was blessed with a quickly launching career, and that was 22 years ago.
And now, what are you guys going to be doing at BouchCon?
Well, I have a panel on Saturday. What's the date
Saturday would be the 8th.
Yes, Saturday, September 8th, from 12 to 1:30. I have on the calendar "Walking a High Wire Without a Net." It's a thriller panel, and we got really cool people on it. Brad Parks is the moderator, and Taylor Stevens is on there. Taylor is just also a Kensington author and a brilliant one at that. So it should be a lot of fun.
And I'm on a panel on Thursday at 11 a.m. with the focus is local Main Street and how that plays in Cozy Mysteries. And then Kensington is having an autographing at BoucherCon on Saturday, the 8th, at 2 p.m. And so all of the Kensington writers are going to be there signing our little hearts out and giving the books away.
Ah, well, and Carol J. Perry will be there.
Yes, she will.
She's a Witch City Mystery, Queen of Witch City Mysteries. And so she's also one of our local authors, and I'm so thrilled that she's now on her number 8. So she's, it's exciting.
Yes, she's on 8
so
now.
On this Saturday event, you're actually giving books away.
Yes. The key word for a conference like BoucherCon is when a publisher is having an event that is actually code talk for we're giving away free books.
Oh, boy.
So the readers that have signed up for this conference ultimately get their money back from the conference fee just in books that are signed books by their favorite authors. It's wonderful.
And what's nice about that, it gives readers a chance to try books by authors they've never read before. We all fall into a rut where we read the same authors over and over again, and books are not cheap. I think it's the cheapest entertainment you can find, but still, people are hesitant to try new things, and what's great about these conferences and the giveaways is it really is a chance to sort of test the waters to see if this is an author you'd like to try. So, gather them all and go around and you get them signed. So if you do like it, there you go. You got a signed book, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful. I hope that all of my listeners will check it out. It's called BoucherCon 2018. All you have to do is go on the Internet, and you get to their website, and you can find out all the details. It's going to be really exciting. And, of course, we're thrilled that it's here in St. Petersburg, because it's just a wonderful venue for authors to come down.
And another plug, BoucherCon is the World Mystery Convention. It is the number, it's like the Detroit Auto Show for mystery authors and thriller authors. So, you know, for listeners out there, if you just, wherever the hotel, the conference hotel is, everybody's there. You know, anybody you want to meet is going to be there. And, you know, just go and go to the bar. You don't have to sign up for the conference either. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But it's a great, be a lobby lizard, and you can meet all kinds of folks.
And John, I'll be at the bar as well.
Well, you know I'm going to be at the
bar. I know you'll be there. I know. The other thing is that we'll all be out in the restaurants along Beach Drive. So another way of kind of bumping into people is to, you know, go have a meal with us. There'll be 1,400 of us out there. So it's going to be a great event. And we'll all be walking in the heat, but we all will be out there trying to grab a bite here and there. So that's another good tip.
And what a wonderful street to grab a bite. It's the restaurants along that road are just so wonderful. It's going to be a great event.
It's going to be an awesome event. So the chairman is, one of the chairs actually lives five blocks behind me. Her name is Erin Mitchell, and she's been doing a fabulous job over the past 3 years planning this event. And I can't wait for it to be the success I know it's going to be.
And have you been to other BoucherCons, John?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
You may?
I think my first BoucherCon was in 1993. It was in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I've only missed maybe two since then. So, yeah, I've been to a lot.
Well, it's a big reunion at the bar.
It is. I mean, you get to see, you know, all your writer friends. And over the years, what's cool is you get to know a lot of people. And if you've got a, you know, if you're a writer, for listeners out there, if you're a writer, editors and agents and publishers and authors and everybody who's anybody is going to be there. So, lots of panels, lots of good times. And for the writers, for me, it's always a great reunion.
And it's so important to have these events so that readers, because we want to encourage readers. The important thing is, you know, we all need more readers, and to find that little bit of you never know what will touch a reader and what will just draw them into a book and draw them, and sometimes it is just getting to know the author. It was funny, I've had CJ Box on my program a number of times, and I've there are two people in my building, and I live in a condo, and I, you know, mentioned, oh, CJ Box was on, and I had one woman say, well, I would never read it. He's one of those Western things, and out there in the West, I never read those books. And I said, oh, but you know, he's so delightful, and then she listened to the interview. I said, listen to the interview, and we're talking there about his daughters, how his daughters help him read the books and give him advice, and how he includes one of his daughters. And so then she comes back to me and she said, well, I didn't know that he was like that. I mean, he's nice. And I said, yeah, he's real nice.
Watch out, John, we're nice.
And so now she's, you know, a fan. And that's what I love to do on this program, to really, you know, give authors the opportunity for listeners to hear them and to get interested in them. And I think both of you have, because it's also fun that when readers know more about an author, like, oh, they were just regular people. They were a firefighter. They were a flight engineer. They start relating to you, and I think that's important.
Well, it is important, especially in these days with social media and what have you. Getting back to the Westerns, I want to touch on that. I have a theory that 90% of all suspense novels and thrillers are actually structured as Westerns without the cowboy hat. You have somebody is in trouble, they need help, in comes the help, in my case it's Jonathan Grave. There's no cowboy hat, but it's the same structure as what the Westerns are, if you know what I mean.
Elmore Leonard said that. You know, that's exactly that's why he was so good at it.
So there is so much good material out there, and as an author, I'm I'm really a type A guy. I like work in the room. I am the definition of extrovert. I draw attention from crowds and really become energized by it. I like to meet people. And it's wonderful to get to know readers. It's terrible to classify. You know, you get the authors and the readers. It's like two homogenous groups, and they're really not. And it's lovely to hear about what's important to a fan or a future fan of a book. Just sit down and talk. It's a wonderful opportunity.
And one of the great things about the mystery community is we are friendly. I think we get out all of our killing on the page, and we will be patient. We're open. Just walk up to one of us and say, "Oh, I loved your book," and we're right in the palm of your hand.
Absolutely. I tell you what's funny at these things about going to restaurants. Have you ever watched the people in the next booth when you get a bunch of mystery writers together and they're talking about the body and the blood and all this stuff? And
they're like folding their napkins and calling for the bill.
Yes. Well, I think it's just wonderful that you two have really found that joy on paper. And as you mentioned, not only are you writers, you are readers. So, John, what are you reading?
Well, at the moment, since I'm on deadline, nothing. most recently, I blurbed Taylor Stevens' new book, which is brilliant, Liar's Paradox. It's amazing. And I would tell you that probably 90% of the reading that I do is for blurbs. Publishers and agents send me these books to read, and I do. I'm also judging a contest that's coming up. So I'm sort of swamped with work reading, and which I love. And again, it's a way for me to discover new authors.
Well, as I explained to you, now, because we're getting ready for BoucherCon, I wanted to get as many Kensington authors on as I could. But I want to have you back after the event, sometime towards the end of September. I hope that you would come back, because you have very, you know, interesting ideas on writing in general, and then I would like to talk about your experience in writing, in taking a book and turning it into a script, because I was a script writer, so this is something that's always fascinates me. And as a matter of fact, when I'm reading, I'm always imagining myself turning the book into a script. If it's good, I want to turn it into a script. So I hope that you'll come back on.
I'd be delighted.
Okay, and we'll devote an entire hour just to talking to you about that, okay?
Okay, that sounds terrific.
Okay. Well, you know, again, I want to thank you, John, so much for being on the program today, and to tell everybody that they can meet you at BoucherCon, and he will be that alpha male out there at the bar.
Type A, not alpha.
You're not going to be. Well, at least a type A guy out there at the bar, and so people can find you and people can talk to you about this. Really, it is, you know, I got such a kick out of this book. I just started thinking, I almost wanted them not to have to get to, you know, all this excitement. And just, I said, he couldn't drag it out like another chance. He's got to get right in there with the action, and you certainly did. And it's a great book, and so everybody can. Now, do you have a website you want people to go to?
JohnGilstrap.com, and I also have a YouTube channel.
Okay,
which is author John Gilstrap.
Okay, and your website is very nice. It has lots of information.
Thank you.
And you are also a speaker who, you know, does bookings for speeches, and you have a list there of all your speaking stuff. So people can go there, too. I think it'll be lots of fun. And you'll be back here at the end of September for an entire hour, okay?
Okay. Sounds great.
Okay. Thank you again for being on Joy on Paper today. And I'm looking forward to meeting you. I will come to the bar.
Okay.
and to your panel, okay?
All right. Sounds great.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, he's nice. And I am back here, and I'm just looking at the cover of your book. You know, I love the cover of Shattered at Sea. The covers of all your books are very evocative of the story.
I know. And
aren't
that's
they great?
Rare. I'm so grateful that the artists and the editors work together at Kensington to make sure that it says what the book needs to say.
Well, that's why, I mean, Carol J. Perry's book covers are among the best. I don't know if they've won awards yet, but they should, because from the very first book, the artist just captured her. You know, she has a cat in her series called Orion. And in each cover, the artist, he tells a story in the cover. And it's brilliant. It's just brilliant. And Kensington has done a marvelous job with illustrators. And with your books, again, the same thing. They capture just the tone that you're looking for.
And they give you the promise of what you're going to read. And it's a good promise. It's kept. That's what a cover is for.
Exactly.
To give you the promise.
Now, do you have a website you want people to go to?
Yes, CherylHolland.com.
And spell your name.
Because
it's not... It's
not your average name. It's CHERYLHOLLON.com.
Holland. Okay. And they can go there, and you have your books in order there.
My books, and also the videos that we made in our little lab, in our little...
workshop there.
Workshop in the back of the house.
In a glass workshop. And she's wearing one of her beautiful pieces today.
The jewelry. Yes.
Absolutely gorgeous. And again, think about going. Where would they go for this date night?
It's called the Morian Art Center, Morean. And it's on the 700th block of Central Avenue in St. Petersburg. And they have a website as well. Just search for Morian date night.
Exactly. And where do they see Chihuly Glass here in town?
That's also on the other side of the street, across from the Art Center. And he has a museum there that's absolutely spectacular. And it stays there. It's a permanent installation. So it's not going away. And that's just so wonderful for our city.
It is. It's a great asset. And anybody who's been to the Bellagio Hotel and looks up and...
I love that ceiling.
I love that ceiling. We're checking in and I'm saying, oh, I can't believe this. I can't believe this.
Okay, well, I actually laid on the floor. So I could look at it longer. And I didn't care who had to walk around me. That is just a stupendous... That installation is incredible.
It is. And it's so wonderful that people can use one of their hobbies to, you know, make books come alive. And you certainly have done that.
Well, I want it to be...
Ooh,
oops, are we out of time?
We're out of time. I can't believe it. The hour went so fast. But it's exactly what I tell everybody, that one of the joys of life is to see your books, to read your books or to hear them in audible version. Do you have audible
versions? We do. That's a great experience as well.
It is. And so all you have to do is start writing. And if you need inspiration, come to BoucherCon. And it's going to be a wonderful event here in St. Petersburg, Florida. And people are coming from all over the world for this thing, because all of the great thriller authors are going to be here, right?
Yes, all of them.
Well, thank you so much, Cheryl, for coming in today. It's been a real joy to have you here.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so very much.
Okay. And thank you, Big Ed, for everything you do for me. And I want to salute him, and he's saluting me. And I love him. He's so great. Okay. Bye-bye now.